Father, this is a bit of a change of plans for today. We were looking forward of Logan coming and sharing with us the importance of sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teachings. And we're still going to do that. We're still going to do that when we gather together and we go into your word. But on short notice, we've done some changes, and I pray that you would take what we have worked on and minister to each of us here. You are the only one that can open our eyes to our own blindness. You are the only one that can open up our ears to hear the things that we have continually refused to hear. You are the only one that is able to take a hard, rebellious, stubborn heart and crack it and change it and reshape it. And I pray this morning that you would be able to do that right here with each of us. And I want to thank you in advance for what you do, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Any of you mess with these things? These mind puzzles? I've enjoyed these down through the years, starting with kid, you know, as a child, messing with. We used to have a wooden ball that was full of pieces, and you had to put it all back together. But my family, my children, knew that I enjoyed these things, and so it seems that each Christmas down through the years, not so true any longer, but they would purchase something like this, and they always got me some really nice ones, heavy duty, you know. And I would take them, and I would work on them, and generally, you know, within the day, I had it figured out, and I felt so proud of myself. Sometimes it might take a next day. And then, one Christmas, they bought me this one. I have spent endless hours working this one. I haven't touched it for about 28 years. I've seen it done. A friend of mine in a church in Michigan said, "Let me show you how it's done." I didn't really pay that much attention because I don't want to cheat. And I spent countless hours working on it, trying to figure it out. I got to get this thing off of there. And I still haven't done it. And the interesting thing, like I said, I haven't touched it for almost 30 years. And you're saying, all you got to do is Google it and follow the directions. Yeah. But to do that, I have to admit defeat. I have to admit I didn't do it. I couldn't do it. I would have to admit that I failed, and I won't do that. And you know what will happen? They'll probably bury it with me, but I may never figure it out. Shame on me. You say, what's that got to do with anything? Well, just to show you how much we all have in common. You see, life is filled with puzzles, trials, hardships, difficulties. And in these things, God is working and trying to shape us and mold us and form us. But oftentimes, we respond wrongly to them. In fact, some of us have not succeeded very well at being the men God has called us to be, or the women God has called us to be. Some of us have not succeeded real well at being the father or the mother that God had called us to be. Some of us may have even struggled and failed at being the husband and wife. And we expect things to change. We expect things to to just get better. We hope that one day it'll wake up and it'll all be somehow solved. And yet, all we've got to do, read the directions. Oh, but if I start reading directions and following directions, I have to admit that I'm not admitting I failed. So we've got a lot in common. So with life's difficulties and trials, can I just encourage you that one of the first things we need to do is read the instructions before we start asking others for their opinions. You start having marital problems, you start talking to others for advice, chances are very good they will not give you the instructions that God would give you. Having trouble with your family, trying to figure out what to do. Oh, there's lots of people that would like to give you a pointer or two and recommend a book or two and share some wisdom that they have. But oftentimes, it's not the advice of the one that created it. And unless we follow his instructions, not much is going to change. So with that, I want you to go with me to the book of Haggai. Haggai is an Old Testament prophet. And it's a prophet that we have looked at before. In fact, if my records are correct, the first time that we looked at this was before I ever came here. It was when you were looking for a pastor. And I brought this message. And we worked through it. Part of the reason why I had chosen this at that time was because it deals with what happens in life. We get sidetracked. And then, if my records are right, about 5 years ago, we looked at the book of Haggai. And so when Logan contacted me and said, I'm not going to be able to be there Sunday, and I'm feeling rotten, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't have much time to come up with something. And so I reached down to a message that I believe has a message for us over and over and over again. I've reworked it. It's not going to be the same stuff, although there's going to be some familiar stuff. You can't change what the scripture says. But Haggai is a book that reminds us of the faithfulness of God. It's that message that has encouraged me over the years. So some of you know that my heart's passion has always been for a small, struggling church. The churches that I have pastored up until coming to Central have all been small, rural churches. I started a ministry in Tennessee to help small, rural, struggling churches. We train men in those small, rural areas to be able to take these small churches and to be able to minister to them. And maybe one day I would like to go back to help small, rural, struggling churches again. We'll see whatever the Lord has. But at the same time, I have counseled many of men over and over again, and I have said, listen, if you're thinking of going into ministry, it's easier to give birth than resurrect the dead. Now, they knew what I meant by that. You might not know, but I'll explain it to you. And what I was telling them is, it's a whole lot easier to go into an area, start from scratch, and birth a church than it is to walk into an old existing church that has been around a while and to where tradition, nepotism, and the teachings of men have become the dogma. Two of the churches that I have pastored, two of them have been over 100 years old. Central is one of them. So why in the world would I not practice what I preach? I have told these guys, listen, It's a whole lot easier to go give birth than to try to resurrect the dead, and yet I've never done it. Why? Because of God. Because of Haggai. Haggai is a prophet. He's a strange prophet because he lived. What do I mean by that? Most of God's prophets were killed. They were killed by God's people. But Haggai is a prophet that goes to the people of God, and for whatever reason, the hand of God, when Haggai came on the scene, the people listened and the people changed. It's easy for us to forget what our real purpose is. And it isn't long. In fact, I've warned, after I've preached that to some of these individuals saying, listen, it's easier to give birth, plant a church, than it is to go to an old one. But then I've warned them, if you birth a church, after a few years, you're going to deal with the exact same problems. Why? Because people are people everywhere you go. And we fall into these traps. And we have the last two Sundays, we've walked through the entire Old Testament a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, we reminded ourselves again of our purpose of being what God has called us to be. And so Haggai is going to help refresh us just a little bit here. And if you'll give me a moment, I got to find it. I can sing it, but I can't talk and sing at the same time. Found it. Haggai comes on the scene at a very special time. But before we begin, I want you to know what has happened to these people. They're not rebellious. It's not that they have a rebellious spirit. We can go back to the Exodus, and we can see Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and going to the promised land. And God says, you guys are hard-hearted. You have a rebellious spirit. That's not true here. It's not true here. They are not a people with a rebellious spirit, but they are a people with a lazy spirit. And so what we find here is these are the right people. They are the right people. They are God's people. And they're living in the right place. And they're wanting the right thing. And for the right reason. But their spiritual priorities are wrong. That's what we find here. That's what we find here. They're the right people at the right place, wanting the right thing for the right reason. But their spiritual priorities have got things mixed up to where they're not thinking as they ought to think. They had forgotten that they're not to lean on their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge God, and he will direct their paths. They have forgotten that. And so Haggai comes on the scene. Because what we find now is a people, the right people, the right place, at the right time, wanting to do the right thing for the right reason. But instead of doing the right thing, they're all caught up living life. Living life. So they were doing more. They were trying harder. They wanted to be better. They were going through some hard times. They were struggling financially. The crops weren't producing. They were wondering what was going on. The economy was falling apart. So they did more. And they worked harder. They wanted to be better. And Haggai comes on the scene and he says, how's that working out for you? And then he has the audacity to point out to them that their lack of food, their lack of clothing, their lack of shelter is because they aren't living as they ought to live. Well, wouldn't that be a message today? To go around the world, even areas here, and say, listen, you know, one of the reasons why you're struggling as you are could be because you're not living as you ought to live. You're not reading the instructions. But we'll leave that for another time. Matthew records something that Jesus had taught if we're going to sit at the feet of Jesus. And he told us, listen, in this world, there's lots of temptations. There's a narrow gate and there's a wide gate, and you're supposed to go to that narrow gate. It's hard, it's difficult. Yes, it is. But listen, along the way, don't you worry about what you're going to eat. Don't you worry about what you're going to drink. Don't you worry about what you're going to wear. I know you need these things. I know you need these things. But I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, and follow me, and I will take care of you. Oh, but that takes a lot of faith. Yeah, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the key to this book, the book of Haggai, is simply to stop, to think, and to consider our ways. So, if you dropped dead before this service stopped, and you stepped into the presence of your judge, and he opens the books that has recorded all that you have done, not only all that you have done, but the reason you have done it, do you think you might wish at that particular time that you would have stopped earlier and considered your ways? So the first thing we find here is a charge against the people. So Haggai chapter 1 says, in the second year of King Darius, the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people, they say, the time has not come, the time that the house of the Lord should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, as David did, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, he says, the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages, and puts it in a bag with holes. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What had happened? These people had come out of captivity. They had been in Babylon. And finally, the 70 years of captivity was over. And Cyrus had said, you guys go home, go back to Jerusalem, rebuild your city, rebuild the temple, rebuild your lives. And they went back happy. They were the right people, the right place, at the right time. They were doing the right thing. But their spiritual priorities had gotten out of whack. Evidently, they got back. This wasn't evidently, it's true what happened. They got back, started working the temple, they found opposition. And how they evaluate life is like what many of us do in evaluating life. We're looking for God to open a door or close the door, right? Isn't that what we do? If God opens the door, we say, praise the Lord. If God closes the door, we say, oh, that's not what he wants me to do. But what we evaluate that on is difficulty. And if I'm going in one direction and it's getting difficult, and the further I go, the more difficult it gets, it appears as though God has closed the door, and I say, well, that must not be what he wants. Now, wait a second. Jesus said, listen, the way that you want to walk is a narrow way. It's a hard way. And if you think you're going to find the will of God just because things are always easy, you will not be in the will of God, because most of God's people have never found life to be very easy. But that's what they had done. They said, it just must not be time. If God really wanted us to build this temple, he'd have supplied the money, he'd have supplied the workers, he'd get rid of the opposition, things would go well. And then Haggai says, but you guys have plenty of time to work on your houses, plant your gardens, and go play golf, and go fishing. It happens too easy to us. When I first went into the ministry, I was taking my first pastorate. My ordaining church, I hadn't been ordained yet, but my ordaining church, some of the leaders came to me and they said, Keith, listen, if you take this pastorate, because this church was only going to pay me $250 a month, total income, total income. Find your own house, pay your own gas, everything. I had two children. They said, Keith, if you take this church, you're worse than an infidel. Because in their minds, my first priority is to make sure that my family's taken care of. Those same men, and I love them today. Some of them have been behind me the whole time. So this is nothing new. I walked this through with them many years ago. But those same men at the same time would praise and support missionaries that would do the same thing if they crossed the ocean, wouldn't they? But what had happened? Well, here in America, we need to make sure we look out for number one. Pastors like Pastor Dowdy, when they get to heaven, they will be greatly compensated because they served. Never mind, we're not going there. But we do, we get our priorities mixed up. So Haggai just comes to them and says, listen, guys, listen. Look, you're working hard. I don't think you understand that God has been trying to get your attention. Some of these trials and difficulties and hardships have been trying to get you to open up your eyes. But you're so stubborn, you won't read the instructions. No. Because then I have to admit defeat. I have to admit I failed. That wasn't true with these people. Because the second thing we find in the book is a commission. After telling them twice, consider your ways, in verse 8, he says this, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. Get your spiritual priorities correct is what he's saying here. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew of the earth, withholds its fruit. For I have called for a drought on the land and the mountains and the grain and the new wine and the oil, or whatever the ground brings forth on men and livestock and all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, underline this, they obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord, their God, had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. And Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Isn't that amazing? God didn't say, you know, it's time to plant a new church. No, he went to the same people who had heard the message over and over and over and over again. He went to the same people who had killed his prophets previously. It's the same God going to the same people and saying, one more time, please think about this. Let's get things right. And this time, their eyes are open, their ears hear. They listen to the instructions and they go to work. They go to work. That's the way our God is. I told you, almost 30 years. Maybe I'll try again. But listen, the creator of that doesn't even care if I finish it. But your creator, the one that knitted you in your mother's womb, who reached down and saved your soul. I was going to put another adjective in there, but I won't. He's the creator that we all have to answer to, and he does care. He wants us to get this right. And he's patient, and he's gracious, and his table of grace is there, saying, come and get it, but
Let's get to work.
And they went to work. And very similar to the book of Nehemiah, if you remember that. Nehemiah comes on later, almost 100 years later from now, from Haggai. Nehemiah comes on the scene later, and they haven't rebuilt the wall. And Nehemiah has to do some of the same stuff, saying, listen, don't you realize we are a reproach to the nations around us because we have not done this? And they go to work, and they do amazing things very, very fast. You'd think Trump was their president or something. I don't know. Don't go anywhere with that. So the question is, are we reading the instructions? If we want things to be different, if we want things to change and we want to see results, we need to read the instructions. We need to follow the directions. Now, we can try harder, but I saw something and I took a picture of it. It said, talking about marriage, and I'll just have to summarize it, but it's one spouse saying to the other, you know, without the houses we've had, the cars we've had, the things that we've done, the vacations we've went on, if I didn't have any of those and all I had was you, that still would have been enough. And I say, oh, ain't that cute? Every one of us ought to be able to say that about God. We like his blessings. We like the hope of eternity. We like the thought that Jesus is up there preparing a place for us. But if we got to heaven and there was no place, all there was us and Jesus, would that be enough? It should be. It should be. I better get rolling, huh? So they went to work. But anytime any of God's people come to a point in their life where they realize, hey, I better consider my ways. I better start thinking about changing some of my ways and doing things the right way and reading the instructions. You can be sure that no longer, not much after time, that you make that decision, the enemy is going to come and try to discourage you from moving forward. And that's exactly what happens in chapter 2. So in chapter 2, we read this. In the seventh month of the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and governor of Judah, Joshua, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, verse 3, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I have covenanted with you, when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while. I will shake heaven and earth and sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come and desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Now let me break it down. As they're building this temple, Solomon's not around. When Solomon built it, Solomon had all the wealth his father David had amassed. And he was able to dip into the treasuries of David. Not only that, Solomon, there we go. The meds have effect on you. Solomon was able to build this temple. And it was something that was so magnificent. But these people had just got back from captivity. Nebuchadnezzar had done a really good job at destroying things. They did not have the resources. They were not able to travel the lands and get fine material from. They were just trying to put this thing together. And they're saying, you know, this isn't going to look anything like the previous temple. And you hear what God says? He said, I don't care. You do what I've called you to do, and I will fill this temple more greater than what I did Solomon's temple. You just do what I've called you to do. What were they doing? Well, they were comparing what they could do with what somebody else could do. And they were convinced that they would never be able to do what somebody else could do, and so they couldn't see any reason in the trying. You know, one of the things that will destroy you is the comparison game. When you begin to compare yourself with somebody else and what they're able to do, you won't get me to lead any hymns as long as we got Zach here. I could get jealous of that. But God has gifted us all differently. And he doesn't want me to be Zach. He doesn't want Zach to be Keith. He doesn't want you to be anybody else. He wants you to be you and to be faithful with what he has given you. And he wants you to do with all you, whatever you do with all you have for his glory. And he will be with you. I shouldn't say this, but I've been here long enough. If you're still looking for a reason to get rid of me, now you'll have one. You know, the old chapel looks pretty nice today. It really does. But there was some rough roads there, wasn't there? And so things can become kind of precious to us. And we got to be careful of that. Because what we're here for is for God to be glorified with everything that we have. And we just try to be faithful with what he's given us and to do the best that we can. But I don't know what's slowing us down. I don't know what's hindering you. You may not have the gift that I have to come up here and to speak, and that's truly a gift. That's not me personally. It's not my natural cup of tea. But you're able to do a lot of things that I'm not able to do. You're able to meet people and talk with people and go places that I'm not. God will use all of us, but the moment we get into this comparison thing, it's dangerous. It'll kill you. It'll keep you from being all that God wanted to be, and it'll destroy a church as well. Faithfulness is what matters. Take what God has given you. Use it for his glory. I know you looked at your clock and you said, whew, you'll never get through this one. Watch me. The last part is a challenge, and I'm not going to read the rest of the book. But in short, this is what God says to the people. You can read it later. But Haggai says, now listen, folks. Listen. Do you remember what things were like before I came? You were working hard. You were earning money. You were putting it into bags with holes in it. You were trying to get ahead. It wasn't going very well. I challenged you. I told you it was time to get our priorities right. It was time to go to work. And you've gone to work. And since you've gone to work, are you enjoying the blessings that God has given you? And the response is going to be, yeah, we really like this. And so Haggai just reminds them that if we want God's blessings, then we need to be willing to keep our spiritual priorities straight, which asks the question, how are we doing at reading the instructions? Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? With all heads bowed, all eyes closed.